I'm Justin Sadler. This is Ken Henke. We're at the Carolina Asheville in the Cinema Lounge at the bar.
At the bar.
And we are...
Elitist Bastards. That's it. Yes, yes.
Where have we been?
We went to movies.
Okay.
I went to two really awful movies. Yeah, that's true. I probably
appreciate that.
I don't know. I mean, I went to two awful ones too. So, well,
some
one fairly dismal one and an awful one. So, but there's one that we both saw we can talk about. We'll get to that later.
On the edge of your seat.
That's right. This is suspense building. We know how to work this. We are good at this. We are professionals.
We're amateurs, so we're not getting paid. Technically.
We get paid for some things.
Not this.
Leave it alone. Okay.
We're not professional podcasters. Yet.
Ah, yes. The operative word. Yet. We are professional bastards, so.
I don't get paid for that either.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
I think it's natural talent. What can I say? All right. Anyway, what did we go see?
Forgot already.
Yeah, they weren't real memorable for the most part. That's
well, you
true.
Watched.
Oh, look, Mr.
I was
Steve
joking,
has
Steve,
a list.
Thank you. I know exactly everything Ken watched on the top of my head. You watched.
Yeah, look at the list.
Prom.
Yes,
tell us about
I did.
Prom.
Oh, it was just.
Tell us about your prom.
My prom. Well, my prom was a little more interesting, I suppose, than the one in the movie. I mean, it was not. What can I remember about it other than the fact that. My girlfriend's mother, first off, had her wear this green dress that was in some sort of form that made it look like an ill-fitting condom. And then she also...
Is there such a thing as an ill-fitting condom?
Yes, they have, they're like wrinkled.
Okay.
Okay. I suppose it could be a mummy suit, you know, that was the other thing. Lime green mummy suits just, you know, don't strike me as likely. There's also a chance she'll listen to this.
I get my condoms tailored. Take some in at the waist.
Yes, well, where were... Oh, yes. And she also made her have her hair done, which turned it into this bizarre-looking thing, which is burned into my memory. I remember we had a real band, unlike the prom and this thing. They weren't any good, but we had a real band. They were live, anyway. And in
I don't
fact,
think they do real bands
no?
in anywhere other than movies. I've never heard of anybody having a real band.
Well, we had a real band. You know, I mean, so back in the olden days, we had real bands. What can I say? Just
so
like
before
in,
they invented,
just like in Carrie, but this band wasn't nearly as good as the
before
band
before they
in
invented
Carrie.
The disc jockey.
Yes, well, that's probably a mistake. Anyway, I remember, in fact. That during a break, the band went around and sold 45s of their hit single, which I really don't think was a hit, and I doubt seriously if the people who put this prom on knew that they were going to be going through the audience selling copies of a song called The Wino. I bought one. I have no idea what happened to it. Anyway, that's enough about my prom. But even
well,
that was more interesting than this prom.
Yes.
It's dumb, it's squeaky clean. Personally, I think this sort of thing is offensive and potentially dangerous because it all takes place at a school where everybody is neat and clean and freshly scrubbed. Everybody is nice. No one is snarky. No one swears. No one is having sex. There's no underage drinking. If you have a child and they think this is what the world is going to be like, good luck. Because they are in for a shock and you are in for a rude awakening when they find out this has no relation whatsoever to reality. It has what they call an emerging ensemble cast, which I believe I explained last week, means people you never heard of. However, the guy who plays the hunky bad boy does bear a slight resemblance to Johnny Depp, which is probably why he's cast as young Barnabas Collins in Tim Burton's upcoming Dark Shadows. So we may hear more from him. I believe the...
He might go the way of Skeet Ulrich.
That's possible. Possible, yes. The girl, I believe, played a corpse in Scream 4. And nobody else had I ever heard of. I am sure there are probably some people who watch the Disney Channel have been emerging. They were emerging along with these people.
They're in the process of emerging. Well, you don't know who they are.
Look, let's be honest here.
Let's be brutally honest.
Let's be brutally honest.
Play it down, Tim.
If it were humanly possible, you know and I know that this theater would have dropped this week. But since they obviously must have agreed to a 2-week window, instead it's been split, exactly, it's been split to 2 shows. Because out of 14 movies last week, it made less money than anything. I saw it on a Friday afternoon with a friend and some middle-aged woman who sat way far down. That was it. We were the audience. I guess it didn't pick up much from there. I don't recommend this film. I would say stay away from this film. Carrie is a much better depiction of the prom. Even before it gets to the pig blood, it's a better depiction of the prom. But let me tell you, pig blood would liven this turkey up no end. And that's all I have to say about
Ken only
the
likes
prom.
Movies with realistic prom.
That's
depictions.
Right. You could hardly
no
say
fake
that
prom
that,
for him.
You could hardly say that the prom depicted in Carrie is realistic. I mean, even before it goes wrong.
What else did you watch? What else are we talking about?
I watched...
You watched Dylan Dog.
Dead of Night.
Dead of Night.
Or Dead on Arrival. I didn't hate it. It's not good.
Good for you. You're a big man.
It was kind of all right while it was on screen. It has nothing special to offer. The only thing it has to have special to offer is the idea of this world-weary private eye who deals with the supernatural. And so they went and cast 20-something Brandon Roth, Ralph, in the role, who is about as world-weary as the high school freshman in prom.
Nobody's seen prom, I don't understand.
That's true.
Or this movie.
So it really doesn't make any difference, because This movie did fold its tent and go away from this theater in 1 week. It would have left the Carmike, too, I imagine, except for the fact that the Carmike is kind of starved for product right now, so they're stuck with it.
Right.
It's mostly...
Would this movie have been better with Snoop Dogg in it?
Possibly not. Unless... No. It would have been better with Mickey Rourke
circa... Was this better than Bones?
Bones.
Bones.
Bones, plural.
That's what I said.
You said Bones? Okay.
I know there's more than one.
There's
you
more than
Bones.
That's right. You've seen this, haven't you?
No, I just remember,
you didn't see that? Oh, okay.
I remember the ad campaign.
See, if you had seen it, you too could complain about the low level of the CGI maggots, which was the highlight of my viewing experience, with being able, knowing that I would be able to complain about that in a review, that the CGI maggots were not believable.
We're talking about Bones.
We're talking about Bones.
The classic
now.
Snoop Dogg horror film.
Not
to be confused with Dylan Dog.
The not classic Brandon Routh film. The thing is,
Ralph without was, Snoop Dogg,
right,
not in it.
Right, without Snoop Dogg, this needed
and not Nate Dogg because he died.
This needed a 30-odd-year-old Mickey Rourke in the lead, somebody that I could believe was world weary, not somebody that it's ridiculous. You see, Brandon Routh is such a stick in the mud traditionalist, and it's not like it's set in a period or anything that he objects to the idea of using digital cameras. Please. This just seems stupid in the course of the film. The plot is serviceable and no better. It's vampires and werewolves both trying to get a hold of some doohickey that will bring somebody back. Belial, I think it is. Some demon back. And then they bring the demon back. This is the goddamn stupidest demon on the face of the earth, or wherever he's from. I mean, you know...
But yet the type of the not using digital cameras is... far-fetched?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That made the whole thing unbelievable.
Okay, good.
They can't decide on how big the demon is either, because he's sometimes he's the same size as a person, other times he's several, you know.
Maybe it's cold.
He's big. Maybe. I don't know. In any case.
They have a fluffer.
A demon fluffer.
Yes.
Boy, that's a specialty. You should apply for that. There's probably money in it.
Maybe.
Anyway. Without giving it away, unless you want me to give it away, I certainly can't sell it at my age. Anyway, the demon is dumb. He's so dumb that as soon as he comes back from wherever he's been all these years, he immediately starts to set about to undo his existence. This is not high on the list of smart, omnipotent beings to me. So,
I can't be that omnipotent. Is he supposed to be omnipotent?
Well, he's supposed to. You know.
How could you beat him?
Well, exactly. You actually can't beat him. He pretty much beats himself, so to speak. So anyway, it was
maybe
here.
Look,
it was here. It was gone. It's gone. It's nobody's ever going to see this movie. It hardly matters. What I think of it is so negligible that it doesn't make any difference. Whatever.
Sounds like what I watched this weekend.
And what did you watch, little Justin?
Well, Fifth Quarter.
It's mathematically impossible.
Yes. Well, it's the based on a true story.
Oh.
Christian.
Oh.
Football.
Oh.
Movie.
Oh. Now we know why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm surprised you didn't pull your, it's at the bow catcher, it's hard for me to get out there.
It's hard for me to get out the bow catcher.
It is or it isn't?
No.
Well, good. We have that on tape. Anyway.
Yes?
It's not really a Christian movie. It's barely a football movie. I don't know what the point of this stupid thing is. Other than...
Well, it's gone, too.
Well, good. Do we have to talk about it then?
It lasted the whole week.
Is there any point?
Well, actually, I guess it lasted 6 days. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. Is there any point in talking about it?
7 days.
No, I don't know. I guess it's 7 days.
Ken Henke.
Math genius.
Is as good at math as the fifth
people
quarter.
That decided there were five quarters, yes.
Yes.
So, the only thing I think anybody would really care about as far as this movie goes is how is Anthony Dowling on it?
Fine.
Actually, you kind of indicated she had one really good scene. Of course,
she has a good scene that has nothing to do with the movie.
Well.
And it's sort of pointless within the context of the film. And it's just more confusing. She's fine in it. She's good. But, I mean.
The movie's not.
She's a professional. The rest of the cast, aside from Aidan Quinn, who just sits and cries the whole time.
maybe he read the script.
That's more like serious acting. There's a good scene where, I don't know, where they decide they want, because the movie's about this kid who dies in a car wreck and his family. And this woman's like, while the kid's still in the bed, like, we want to take his organs. And the two brothers get really upset over it, like, you're not tearing him up. There's some good acting.
Did the organ play a solo after the feature picture? No. I was afraid of that. Yeah, didn't you say that they use the Secretariat shtick in it, where in Secretariat, one of the big races, they couldn't afford to film it, so they used, you watched it on television from
the
real
race. That's
the
entire movie.
I know, but I mean, but in this one, that's all the football games are just television.
Yeah.
Shit.
You see, you don't even see practice. You see people, I guess they wouldn't film the football team standing around.
So what's the still that I have? Of Aidan Quinn and Andy McDowell.
No, they're in the audience. They're in the crowd.
But we're seeing
them on
TV.
But you don't see the football team doing anything. No, they cut the TV footage into the movie like you're watching. But it's obviously TV footage because...
Oh, okay. How?
None of it. Because the guy that plays the main football player is much tinier than the real guy.
How very economical. Can't recommend it.
Yeah, it's that extra quarter.
Yeah.
You gotta pay for it, man.
Yeah.
Don't come cheap.
What do they cost?
At least a quarter.
Okay. All right, so you're not recommending that one.
I am to you.
No, it's okay.
I worry about your soul.
Yeah, you're in a real good position for that, let me tell you.
About worrying for your soul?
Yes,
I am. For all the sins you've committed against me, making me watch this shit. Speaking of which...
Speaking of shit, let's hear about Hoodwink 2, Hood versus Evil.
Yes, which is... I don't want to make a circumcision joke.
I hadn't even thought of that.
We
already had one circumcision joke today. I don't think we can need two.
I'm sure we can make more.
Oh, yeah, well.
We need themes.
That's true.
Let's pick them out of a hat.
I'm just waiting for
this
when...
This gets...
I'm just waiting for when somebody in town picks up the beaver.
I'm sure you are.
We should have fun with that.
I've never known you to have fun with the beaver. He's speechless.
I'm not going there. I'm just leaving that alone because it no good can come of this conversation.
Might be more interesting than...
Well, that's entirely true. Then talking about Hoodwink 2?
Yes.
Well, let's hear about Hoodwink 2.
It's stupid. Why do we need to talk about this? Isn't it going to be gone soon? Is it staying?
No, it's amazingly holding on. The 2D print's gone, mind you. But the 3D
That's
is.
What I saw. I saw the 2D
the
print.
The 3D is gone. It's still there.
Okay. Well, thank goodness.
Why? I don't know.
Because you can make an extra $3. Because I was there on a Friday and nobody was there for the 2D.
I think overall it pulled in like $1,100, which is appalling.
It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, so...
Anyway,
yes.
Stupid movie.
Well, the first one was stupid.
I never saw the first one.
That's why I wasn't watching the second one.
I know, you're a gentleman.
I am. I'm a sweetheart.
It's this stupid fairy tale Shrek bullshit thing... I have nothing to say to say anything about this dumb movie.
They couldn't even get Anne Hathaway to come back and do the voice. Instead, they had to settle for Hayden Panettiere.
Does Steve want me to describe what the movie's about?
Let's do it real simple. Let's just get the list of things people are going to ask about. I'll just say a word, and you say what you think of it. One or two words.
Dumb.
Well, okay,
this is going to be all of them.
He has to say the word.
And the answer is going to be dumb.
Okay.
It's dumb.
Animation.
Dumb.
Acting.
It's not acting, they're talking.
Talking.
It's stupid.
Overall plot.
Dumb. I'm trying to think of another one. But yeah, it's dumb.
Music. There's going to be musical numbers in it.
Is there? I don't remember.
I believe there are musical numbers in the first one. That doesn't necessarily mean there are musical numbers in this. I may still have a screener of the first one. Would you like to borrow it?
No.
Oh.
I don't think there is music.
No, well.
That I remember. Forgettable, if there is.
Does it
look like... there's a really, really awful rap song over the end credits.
There you go.
That some adult has rapped about this movie. They have written... It's not just like they found a rap song and they put over the credits. It's like plot-centric.
Is it as bad as Mick Hammer's Adam's rap?
Yes, because... I would rather somebody rap about the Addams Family than about Hoodwink 2.
Oh, well, yeah, I suppose you have a point there. There's a pretty decent rap song on the end of People Under the Stairs. And it was written for the film, because I...
You should do a screening room of your favorite rap songs over...
Actually,
you could do a pretty good one of 90s rap music, and there's some really bad rap music in Rocky V.
You know, it's about time you have a guest screening room.
I don't have all these movies.
Yeah, well, I'm... I do?
Well, I'm just saying...
Yeah, well, if you want to do a...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Vanilla Ice, Steve knows.
Go Ninja Go, yeah.
Wow. You see, there are certain benefits to having been born in 1954.
Well, yes.
This crap isn't part of my childhood. I don't have to worry about it.
You have other crap from your childhood. It's just different generations. It's different crap, but it's all crap.
Yeah, but I'm far enough removed from most of it now that I can't remember half of it.
Until somebody reminds you.
Even then, you know. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about Captain Kangaroo, and he talked about an aspect of the show I do not remember. So.
In conclusion... Hoodwink 2 sucks.
Is it a moose fellation party?
More like a moose fluffing.
Can't even go the whole way, huh? Yeah, that's bad.
It's not even, yeah, it's too lazy to do that. It's just...
Well, one thing that you cannot accuse, notice the clever segue, Fast Five of, is being lazy.
Well.
Which...
But you actually like this movie.
I was entertained by this movie. That's not quite the same thing as saying I liked this movie.
You didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it. I minded the fact that it was 2 hours and 10 minutes long, which it didn't need to be. But it's a big, dumb action movie that, as near as I can determine, knows it's big and dumb. It's about guys with necks bigger than their heads driving around in fast cars and shooting things up.
Heroin?
And then with guns.
Requiem for a Fast Five.
Yes, Requiem for a Fast Five. That would be that has a conceivable sequel. It has. It also has a plot in the middle of it that thinks it's Ocean's 11 combined with the Italian Job. That's, these people were not made for heavy thinking, and it's a little hard to imagine it. But, you know, there it is, and there you have it. The Rock is in it. Oh, excuse me, Dwayne Johnson. Although, since he's going back to being a wrestler, can't he be The Rock again?
Is he a wrestler again?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he's going to wrestle.
I'm glad you know.
I don't know why I know that, but I do. I forget why.
That's a good question.
It is a
good
question.
Why do you know that?
I don't know. I'm kind of embarrassed now that you bring it up. Anyway, he's in it, and I believe... who was it that you had down for World's Sweatiest Performance?
Was
it Jimon Hounsou? Yes, well, I think that The Rock may have outdone him in this. Especially since nobody else is sweating. And he's just covered in perspiration, excuse me. He's covered in perspiration in almost every shot, it seems.
Well, it's human, maybe.
Are you saying that The Rock is more human than Paul Walker?
Humid.
Oh, well, everybody is in the same place.
He might be more human.
How can he be more humid?
I mean, he's been outside all day. May they've been inside an air conditioner.
They're in fucking Brazil, for Christ's sake. Of course it's humid. Now, I did like the fact, I very much appreciated that they showed me Sugarloaf Mountain, and they showed me that big statue of Jesus, and I was just waiting for them to think, you're so dumb, we need to put Rio on the screen at this point, and they didn't. I appreciated that fact a great deal, actually. It's really stupid, though. I mean, it's a dumb action movie. What more can you say about it? It defies logic, it defies the laws of physics, it defies good screenwriting.
Yet you were entertained.
And I was entertained.
What does it say about
but
you?
But I think I was partly entertained by the fact that it was this dumb. You know, I mean...
Don't look down your nose.
I'm not looking down my nose.
Fast Five.
Well, yeah, I am. It's not like I'm going to make a case for it being a good movie. But I was entertained. I'll never see it again. But I was entertained.
Good. Yeah. Wasn't that... what movies should do?
Ideally, they should do it without having to be incredibly stupid.
Okay. Fair enough.
And speaking of not being incredibly stupid, we've both seen the movie that opens this Friday.
Do we want to talk about I Am first?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about I Am. I Am is a documentary.
It's a dog food company.
Yes. It's a documentary about a dog food company. No. It is...
it's about Popeye.
Yes. I yam what I yam. Yes, that's right. No, actually, I give it some credit for the source of its title, which comes from G.K. Chesterton. And since they use it as some sort of big thing towards the end of the movie, I won't give it away. Anyway, it's... Do you know who Tom Shadyac is?
Yes.
Okay.
He's made dumb comedies.
Yes. And Patch Adams, which is dumb goo.
So, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, that's even worse. Yeah, I know. That is more reprehensible than Ace Ventura any day.
What about this movie?
Yes, it's Tom Shadyac had a bicycle accident, which gave him some sort of post-concussion syndrome, where you're all depressed.
Was this before or after Bruce Almighty?
It was right after Evan Almighty.
Okay, so it doesn't excuse.
No, it does not excuse these films. No, but anyway, it was a life-changing experience, and since he's had his life changed, he wants to change yours.
So he's running everybody into cars on bicycles?
Yes. No, what he wants to do is he wants to enlighten you. And I have nothing against what he wants to enlighten you with. I mean, the premise is fine. I think it's a little extreme to sell your 17,000-square-foot home and move into a double-wide. But, hey, if you want to do that, that's fine.
Is that what he's done?
Yes. I still would like to examine his bank account because I don't suspect he, like, just gave all that money he made from the house sale away. Anyhow, it's fine. It's a vanity project. I mean, let's face it. The movie got made because Tom Shadyac has a whole buttload of money. What it talks about... it's fine. It's kind of the anti-Atlas Shrugged. It's all about not being self-centered and not being self-interested. And right. And it's kind of a butterfly effect sort of thing. And
like pay it forward.
Well, no, so it's more like every time that you do something
Haley
good...
Haley Joel Osment doesn't die.
No, that Haley Joel mouth breather is not in this. It's kind of like every time you do something good, it adds to the world's karma. And that eventually this is how good things get accomplished, is by small acts. In other words, it's in bumper sticker. But, you know, I can't hate it. I didn't mind sitting through it. It's smart enough to be 76 minutes long. And for people who like New Agey stuff, they'll like this. This movie has sentient yogurt in it. Now... you name me another movie with sentient yogurt.
Well, I can name you a movie with a sentient tire.
And what would that be?
Rubber.
Rubber, a movie we have both seen.
Yes, how exciting. It's a rare occasion. Ring the bell. You have a bell?
Why don't we have a bell? What do you think about this thing? He thinks
It's incredibly smart-assed.
Yes.
But unlike a lot of incredibly smart-assed movies... it's actually entertaining.
It's also smart as well as smart ass.
Yes. I think the fact that it doesn't take itself too seriously definitely helps.
But you can take it as seriously as you want to go with it.
Yeah. Or as
seriously as you want to go. It's a movie about a sentient tire.
Sort of.
To an extent. Yes. This tire first wobbles around, then it learns how to roll without falling down. It's much like a person. Then it learns the joy of running over shit. Then it learns that there are some things you can run over that they don't crumple and break, like a beer bottle. So it finds that it has untapped telekinetic power that can go all scanners on that beer bottle. It can also go all scanners on people's heads if you annoy him. And it doesn't seem to take very much to annoy this fellow. So that, however, is only part of the movie. It also has to do with movies and with people watching movies and with the really existential question of if there's no one there to watch it, does the movie continue? And it's unlike really anything much I've ever seen. There's a little Buñuel in there, especially in the shot of a turkey in a motel room. Although it has more... the turkey in the motel room immediately reminded me of the chicken walking across the bedroom in a Buñuel film, or the ostriches appearing out of nowhere. But this at least has... this is kind of explained, although why he has a live turkey is not explained.
It's ridiculous. There's
true.
No reason, Kim.
There's That's no why. Reason, and the movie is about no reason. It is about how this is an element not only in real life, but in every great work of art, is no reason.
Even though when it's explaining its theory, it's giving off examples that do have a reason.
In some cases, yes.
Well, as it keeps going.
Well, yes.
Once we get to the pianist and him questioning,
well, yeah,
that's... why is he bumming around when he can play the piano? Well, there's a good reason for that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so,
but in general, you know, I mean, frankly, if you want to get down to it, I think there's a reason why we don't see anybody go to the bathroom in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it would be kind of...
Or as they call it, Excellent Chainsaw Massacre.
Toby Hooper's Excellent Chainsaw Massacre, yes. Because there's, you know, why would you want to?
Right. I find it interesting, you can tell that this guy is, the person that has made this movie is French, because not all the dialogue makes sense. It's not quite natural.
Well, no.
I find it odd that we have English-speaking actors that aren't saying, hey, this doesn't sound right. But then again, maybe that's part of...
And the casting of Wings Hauser as the grizzled old movie watcher in the wheelchair,
right.
That was a masterstroke. The thing about this movie is, it might annoy you, it might amuse you, you might find it deep, you might not find it deep, but I pretty much guarantee you've never seen anything quite like it.
No.
And as a result, you owe it to yourself to see this movie. And if you don't like it, I don't care.
I care.
Do you?
No, not really.
Okay, let's move on to the Thursday Horror Picture Show.
The Thursday Horror Picture Show.
You know this. You don't need my help.
No.
I don't need to be
Why
here.
Are you here?
I don't know. I can just leave this.
Because somebody has to hold the microphone.
It's pretty much what I've been reduced to.
We would let you speak, but you prefer to remain in the background, which
That's
I don't
true.
Know why.
You would let him speak. I don't know if I would. Anyway, what are we showing?
We are
Thursday?
Showing...
Where is it?
Which,
Let's get through all this crap.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is
I forget.
It? Where?
Where do we do this at?
I don't remember. Oh, here.
Where's here?
If they listen to the first part of the show, they know where here is.
Okay. What
here
if they
is in the Cinema Lounge at the Carolina.
Okay.
And it's at 8 o'clock on Thursday, May the something.
It's Thursday.
No. 5th. May 5th.
Yes,
May 5th. At 8 o'clock. If I didn't make that clear.
And it's free.
And it's free. Free, mind you. Free. Costs you nothing. Except 80 minutes of your time, roughly.
You're being in the same building with Ken Henge.
Yes, well, there is that.
It's a price to pay.
Yeah.
What are we showing?
Being in the same theater with Justin Sowler is pretty rough, too, but, you know.
What are we showing?
We are showing Boris Karloff in The Ghoul from 1933, a film that was considered lost when I was a kid. There's a lot of stuff that was considered lost when I was a kid and subsequently been found.
You probably got lost in a grocery store at some point.
I don't remember that happening. I got lost in a movie theater once when I was about 2.
Well,
I was found.
And they found you.
Yes, they did.
So
in a lot of ways,
you're a lot like The Ghoul.
Yes, but they didn't find me under lumber. They found me walking up the aisle doing an Elvis impression at the age of 2.
Yeah.
Which is pretty darned amusing if you stop and think about it now.
That's a much better story.
We got looks on that just from the people hanging around. What can I say? It's much better than being found under lumber, I think. Yeah. Anyway, The Ghoul was first turned up in a Czechoslovakian archive in a really cut-up, bad, dark print that they made available to us and tried to block out the Czech subtitles, which was, that mattered. But then they did find a much better print. It was like a pristine print in the studio, buried under lumber, amazingly enough. And the print is like it could have been shot yesterday. And what we had previously thought was, an intriguing little movie, turns out to be one of the most accomplished horror movies of the early 30s.
You said it's accomplished.
It's accomplished. It's slick. It's atmospheric. It's creepy as hell. Unlike most Hollywood movies of the time, it pretty much has wall-to-wall music, and the music is used well. The story is unusual about Karloff as this Egyptologist who actually believes in the ancient Egypt religions, who thinks that he has this jewel that if he presents it to Anubis after his death, he will be admitted into the gates of paradise, Egyptian style.
Right.
It has a funny moment towards the end, because there's nothing to make you think that he doesn't come back from the dead exactly as he claims. But towards the end, and I guess to satisfy the British censor, there's a scene that's been added, which is there for no other reason than to say, the doctor didn't understand the case. I've been afraid of catalepsy. You mean, yes, Morland was never dead. It's just pretty much bullshit. Because everything about the film is geared to make you think he was dead. He looks like he's rotting. I don't understand why he would come back at a specific time when the moon strikes the outside of a tomb. I don't understand why he would have the ability to pull iron bars apart if it was just, you know, he'd just woken up from catalepsy. Anyway, it's got Ernest Thesiger in it. It's got Cedric Hardwick, who makes a really smarmy lawyer. And it has the first ever appearance of the great Ralph Richardson with hair. It's starting to recede already in 1933, but he has hair and is still clearly Ralph Richardson. And if you like horror movies, this thing is really on the must-see list. It's really good. Okay, so we're going to talk about Stranger Than Fiction.
Are we?
That's what.
Well, maybe we should start off by telling everyone
where it is.
Yes.
Where is that? Where is that damn thing?
I believe it's on a Tuesday.
I believe you're right. At 8 o'clock.
In the future.
In the future, yes.
What Tuesday?
And I believe it is the 10th of May.
May 10th, in fact.
Oh. Most Will Ferrell movies really blow goats, but Stranger Than Fiction does not.
No. It's good.
It's really good. It's probably the second best, if not the best, film that Mark Forster has made.
With the best being Quantum of Solace. Obviously.
No, I was thinking of Stay, actually.
No, you're thinking of Quantum of
no,
Solace.
No, I wasn't. You were thinking of The Kite Runner, I know.
Did you make that?
Yep.
Never even saw that movie.
I did. It was okay. It's fine for what it is, but it is what it is. Anyway, this is not what you think of when you think of a Will Ferrell movie. In fact, the trailer does it a grave disservice by finding the two moments in it where he acts like Will Ferrell and sticking them in there so people think it is a Will Ferrell movie.
I'm going to watch it.
Which, A, only pissed people off who were wanting to see Will Ferrell run around screaming, hey, look at me, I'm being funny. And B, didn't draw in people who wouldn't go see that on a dare. So, it didn't work well for them. But time has been kind, and it has done much better since its original release than it ever did in 2006. The story is somewhere on the far side of clever. He is Harold Crick, a virtually personality-free IRS agent who suddenly finds that his life is being narrated by an unseen woman. And what it turns out is that he is a character in Emma Thompson's novel that she's trying to write. And the bad news about this is that the woman never writes books with happy endings. Her main characters always end up on the slab. So he has to attempt to intervene with her, who is, as you might guess, understandably startled to be confronted by a character she thought was fictional. It works on so many levels, and in addition to this, all this is taking place at the same time that Will Ferrell's character is being humanized by having met Maggie Gyllenhaal, who runs a bakery who he's having to audit because she hasn't paid her taxes. Even though she did send the IRS a nice letter that began, Dear Imperialist Swine, explaining why she hasn't paid her taxes. But, I mean, it's a lovely, charming, actually funny, very intelligent movie that everybody should see.
What do we have this week?
Oh, that's
coming up.
It should probably
run through this pretty quick.
What do we have coming up? We have...
Well, I Am, which we talked about, and Rubber.
Yes, and Rubber. We've talked about both of those.
But we also have Jumping the Broom.
Yes, or whatever, which is looks stupid. It's a warring.
Which is why I get to watch it.
It's a warring. I'll watch something borrowed. You know.
Well, it's yeah.
You know, I'll trade you. Stupid. I'll watch it, and you can watch something borrowed.
Whatever's more
maybe when we look at the times, we might.
When you find out what's more convenient for
that's
you,
right.
You will tell me what I'm watching.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because it's all about Ken.
That's right.
And his convenience.
And it should be. It's all about
so
me
got
and
a
Ayn
handicapped
Rand.
Yeah. Played on his car now. He's not handicapped. He's just like.
Yep. Well, I do qualify.
Laziness is not a handicap.
It's not laziness.
I have it, and I function perfectly fine.
That's a matter of opinion.
No. Jumping the Broom.
I still don't like the fact that I couldn't get a handicap space the other day and there was somebody in a brand new Bentley parked in one. If you can park in a, if you can afford a brand new Bentley, you can afford somebody to carry you to the goddamn theater.
Or you can afford to just get a parking ticket. Maybe they didn't have a tag.
Yeah, it's possible. I didn't look, actually. Anyway.
One day maybe you'll be rich enough.
Anyway, Jumping the Broom is some sort of stupid parents of a bride and groom.
Evil Knievel, right?
Yes, he jumps
and a rocket
car. Yes, yes. You have named it. You've nailed it.
Okay. What about Something Borrowed?
I see.
What is that?
Something
about?
Borrowed is about an hour and 40 minutes long, and the story has Jennifer Goodwin, I think her name is.
Something like that.
Yeah, who's a nice girl who's in love with the. Her best friend, who is a duplicitous bitch, as near as I can tell, played by Kate Hudson, which may or may not be true. But she's in love with her fiancé, and they end up in bed together. Hilarity ensues.
Sounds pretty awesome.
I think it probably is pretty awesome. And then we have Thor. Are you all jazzed about Thor?
No, I don't care. Steve, on the other hand.
Steve, are you jazzed about Thor?
Oh, yeah. He's the God of Thunder. What's there not to be jazzed about?
It's
directed by Brana.
He doesn't even have, like, a weird accent. Isn't he, like, Swedish? Isn't he?
Well, he's, you mean the character is Norse. But
yeah,
the,
yeah, shouldn't he have an accent?
Well, the actor's...
By Odin's beard,
why
he should.
He speak
I never
English?
Thought of that.
Why does he speak English?
I bet they explain it in the film. I bet they completely explain it.
Well, no, they show,
no,
they
no,
show all
no,
the gods
no.
hanging out speaking English.
No, no. Don't you people understand? It is a basic rule... A film that all ancient and Norse gods are pretty damned ancient civilizations speak with Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts accents. I don't know what you expected. You expected him doing an L. Brendel impression? What, are you just going to come down to earth and go, yump in Yemeni? No, I don't think
yes.
so.
That cook from the Muppets. Jorgen, Jorgen, Jorgen.
You had enough. I've had enough.
Yeah, I'm done.
Who are we?
We're Elitist Bastards.
That's right, we are.
Specifically, I'm Justin Sauer.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm
Ken
Hanke. And we come to you through the auspices of those fine, fine folks. This is called buttering them up. At the Mountain Express. And we are produced, cohered, and generally put up with by... Miami Steve Schanefeld, a.k.a. the Colonel, for reasons that none of us understand, except possibly one guy in Australia.